Department of Health warned residents on the base against using the water, the Navy continued to deny any danger. Behind the scenes, however, the Navy had halted the use of Red Hill Fuel Storage Facility and took its Red Hill water well offline on November 27th and 28th without disclosing either decision to residents. In a December 2nd press release, the Navy admitted the Red Hill well had tested positive for petroleum but insisted the levels were too low to be deemed dangerous. On December 5th, the day Spitzer took to Facebook to apologize for encouraging families to drink the tainted water, a town hall was held on the base where concerned parents, pregnant women, and nursing mothers spoke from their hearts to Secretary of the Navy Carlos Del Toro. After apologizing for the anxiety caused by the leak, Del Toro stated, "My promise to you is we don't just leave here and forget about you." A day later, Governor David Icke and the Department of Health issued an emergency order directing the Navy to further suspend operations of the Red Hill storage tank facility until independent evaluators could prove that appropriate actions were being taken to protect drinking water. They also ordered the Navy to treat toxic drinking water and plan to remove the fuel. The Navy, however, despite Del Toro's apology and promise to take care of the military families and civilians affected, contested this order, arguing that the suspension of the Red Hill fuel facility would negatively impact naval operations. Since then, the Hawaiian government and Department of Health have been pleading with the Department of Defense to drain the tanks before another disaster affects the people of Hawaii. The Navy has still not budged, despite orders from Hawaii Congressional Delegation, the Honolulu City Council, and a 13-hour Health Department hearing, after which a state hearing officer called the Red Hill facility a metaphorical ticking time bomb. This effort to protect the people of Hawaii from their military occupiers is not new. Hawaii Sierra Club and other local environmental organizations have been protesting the use of the Red Hill facility for years. Concerns that another leak was inevitable are not unfounded. The facility experienced leaks in January 2014, March 2020, and May 2021, and these are just the leaks the Navy has acknowledged. In the time since the 2014 incidents, the Navy has done little with its increasingly bloated budget to address the clear problems at the fuel facility instead of considering, for example, the gradual moving of fuel to another location not directly above Oahu's water supply. The Navy has used its power to keep its precious fuel where it is, despite the threat posed to its own members, their families, and the citizens of Hawaii. The catastrophic history of Red Hill and the Navy's stubborn resistance to pleas for greater protection of residents of the area raise questions about the role of the military in the lives of ordinary citizens in the land in which military units have inserted themselves. How can the military possess such exorbitant wealth and power yet not respect and protect the most basic human rights, safe drinking water, for the very people responsible for their functioning? How could the Navy allow its own service people, their families, and civilians on the base to consume poison for days, knowing full well that a jet fuel leak had taken place above the water supply on November 20th? Why is the U.S. Department of Defense fighting tooth and nail to guard its fuel instead of prioritizing the health of its service members, their families, and the people of Hawaii? The answer is simple. The military establishment does not care. The Pentagon and its higher ups have continuously failed to prioritize the health and safety of military members and their families. Thank you. The Red Hill disaster is just one more example of the U.S. Department of Defense disregard for human lives when those lives get in the way of their expensive, deadly operations. Does this disregard make you as angry as it should?
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems, questions, and issues parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their offspring. The answers are based upon the noble Quran and the narrations of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and his holy progeny. We have in this studio our guest speaker, Sister Radhia Batul Najafi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear listeners, if you remember in our last episode, we were talking about the physical activity of our teenagers. As we said, If they have well and strong physical body, then they will have a healthy mind. If they have a healthy mind, then it will give us a very, very good chance to guide them towards halal activities and to use their time in a best way.
And not only that, I think this is one of the form of worshipping Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. You know, sometimes I really think that most of our time as a human being, we spend in earning and eating and sleeping half of our life. So Allah has created us to worship Him. Ma khalaqtu al-jinna wal-ins illa liya'budun. So if my purpose of life is worship, And if I want to do everything meaningful, you know, the way parents, they always say to their children, to their teenagers that, you know, do something nice, be productive. So production comes from where? So Allah, what Allah says, even you sleep, because sleeping is important for your healthy life, healthy mind. So that is that has reward. That is ibadah. The same way when you are active, you are having all this halal entertainment, especially with your teenagers, you are in the position of worshipping Allah.
So worship does not mean that you just go to the mosque and pray and fast and do hajj and pay zakat and pay khums. No.
When it comes to train, usually parents, what they say, you know, usually they say, go study, go pray, you know, do your homework. You know, always they are just pointing those serious issues of life. Those are there, definitely. Those are very important. But usually we don't say that let's come watch film together. It's sawab, you know. Let's come. Let's climb this mountain. Let's go and remember our prophet when he used to climb the Mount Hira. Yes, just come. Let's go for this ibadat. You know, let's eat together. It's ibadat. Let's go to this restaurant. So because we don't take it in a very positive way, our youth and our teenagers, they run away from us, you know.
So one of the ways we can manage our teenagers' free time is to travel with them.
Oh, that's beautiful. Siru fil arz, again.
As Quran says, travel on this earth and see my signs.
Exactly. This is a planet, an earth which
full of
an earth which is
things,
beautiful
signs of
bounty
the great
of Allah.
Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, this is a little bit expensive, but the parents who can afford this, they must do. So dear listeners, we will take a short break. Please stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. So, travel does not mean to go to different countries, spend a lot of money. Within
therefore,
your city, your country.
I agree that it's always expensive. Yeah. It's not. And you know, one thing which we have noticed that, you know, the moment you come out from your house, with your teenagers, automatically your mood shifts. And you have a different mood, different tune of talking, you know, your mindset change totally, and you can changes, and you can focus on so many you know, things which easily you can't when you're just sitting at home. So according to hadith, that if you travel, Allah will give you so many bounties and treasures, and you will get so much in your life, you know, healthy mindset and health, even physical health, and And Allah will open up so many doors for you. Yeah. So we don't know about the benefits of traveling.
Yeah, I just remembered a beautiful hadith from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, where he says, Safiru tasihu.
Safiru tasihu, yeah.
If you travel, you will, you know, get well. If you have any kind of disease, you will get cured. And safiru taghnimu. This is very strange. Taghnimu comes from ghanima. Ghanima means, you know, you get wealth or some money or some anything, you know, good for you. So Holy Prophet says, if you are poor, you travel, you will gain wealth. This is very strange.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think this hadith of our Prophet is very profound, you know, and we don't see traveling as a source of income and as a source of health.
Yeah.
We don't take it in that way. We just want to be, you know, therefore sometimes, you know, we are not that much positive. Therefore, sometimes we just, you know, skip our traveling. And sometimes we go with so much tension that, oh, how much we are spending money and blah, blah. We don't take it, you know, in a positive way. The way, like, having guests in your house is source of barakah, source of blessing. But if I take it negatively, maybe I will not get the blessing. The same way, we have to change our perspective about traveling, about having all this amazing picnic, maybe inside our country too, in a very beautiful way, the way a Prophet is teaching us.
Yeah, maybe some of our listeners, they will question that, how, if we travel, how can we get the wealth?
Yeah.
In another hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself replies that safiru fa innakum in lam taghnimu malan ufittum aqla. Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that if you don't get any wealth, you will get increased in your intellect. Inshallah, after a short break, we will continue this beautiful topic.
Ya muqiya al-khayrat, ya muqiya al-khayrat, ya muqiya al-khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
Dear listeners, welcome back. So in this hadith, Holy Prophet ﷺ mentions a very beautiful point.
Intellectually, you will become rich.
Rich, yeah.
Yeah, richness
definitely
doesn't mean only
wealth,
with money or, you know, dollars and pounds. You will get rich, you know, mentally. And maybe you'll get some ideas, you know, when you open up your mind, you watch and observe so many other cultures, other, you know, maybe you're visiting so many beautiful centers and you get some idea that we can understand. But there are so many other amazing impact of traveling and mingling with other cultures too, which maybe we don't understand it. So Prophet is saying rizq, for example, or richness doesn't mean only one, that money. It has so many other meanings too.
Definitely. In one hadith, Imam Ali alayhi salam also mentions, وَسَافِرْ فَفِي الْأَسْفَارِ خَمْسُ فَوَائِدِ. Travel, because in travel you will get 5 benefits. تَفَرُّجُ هَمِّن. The first benefit of traveling is you will get refreshed. You know, if you have any burden in your, you know, mentally or physically, if you have some grief in your life, if you go on travel, then you will get refreshed. And second thing is وَاكْتِسَابُ مَعِيشَةٍ. You know, your economy will become better. And وَعِلْمٌ وَآدَابٌ. This is very important. Through traveling, you can gain knowledge. You can gain adab, means, you
some,
know,
some beautiful,
you know, beautiful manners.
Yeah.
Akhlaq, etiquettes. And وَصُحْبَةُ مَاجِدٍ. Majid means good friends. We will get, you know, a very good beautiful company. Good company. By these companies also you can get so many things.
You know, one of the concept in Islam which we have about migration too, like, you know, by knowing this hadith, we can just tell our teenagers that look, Islam is very open and very broad-minded. You know, the way Islam says, if you just, you know, move from your place, don't stick with it in one place, yeah? Let's move, let's go ahead, let's call people, invite people to your house and go to meet them, you know, by mingling that, by meeting with people and with different cultures, you will learn so many new, you know, ideas and new things. Yeah. So Islam is a beautiful, very comprehensive, amazing religion. And we can just attract by this amazing teaching of Islam our teenagers.
We can arrange for just teenagers, you know, their friends, our son's friend or daughter's friend. We can arrange a small travel for them. Within the country, we can arrange trips for them. This also helps them to get freshened.
Exactly.
Because sometimes maybe teenagers, they don't want to accompany, you know, their parents, their family members. So this is also a good point.
And nowadays, alhamdulillah, there are so many facilities. But we are just discussing these points that if you are having any hesitation as a parent that shall I send my teenagers or not, traveling is good or not, so Islam is saying always take a risk, you know, send them. Because, you know, if you come out from the house, there are risks. Yeah, traveling is not
definitely
easy. So we shouldn't be so much doubtful person.
Observative.
Exactly. Not stuck and narrow-minded. Islam is very open and I love all these ahadiths, mashallah.
And one another and last point, we should not do exaggeration. You know, sometimes some families, parents, they go a lot on travel, you know, which also can cause some problems for their teenagers, especially the teenagers, they don't want to travel or they don't love traveling. So we should keep this point also in our minds. Dear listeners, thank you for joining our program. If you have any question, comments, or any suggestion, you can write us at englishradio@irib.ir and you can follow us on our social media, Call of Islam Radio, and you can visit our website, parstoday.com. Until next episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, let us contemplate upon what the Holy Prophet's 11th infallible successor, Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, said when asked about the promised Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance. He will be my son, the namesake of the Prophet. Whoever dies without knowing him will die the death of ignorance. His absence will be so lengthy that the ignorant will wander puzzled and would surely stray from the right path. But the righteous shall remain steadfast and pray for their Imam to appear within their lifetime. Happy Iranian New Year! Happy Nowruz! lockstep with spring, the season of renewal and freshness, and the greening of nature, we here at Arabi English Radio wish you happiness and prosperity.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
An ancient place in Guatemala with special significance for the Mayan culture could be the next entry on the World Heritage List. The historic village known today as the Takalik Abach Archaeological Park was occupied for 1,700 years before it was abandoned and discovered in 1888. It's said to have been home to a pre-Hispanic people. Archaeologists found their way to this mysterious piece of land where they found a series of exotic artifacts and sculptures back in 2008. Guatemala's Minister of Cultural Heritage says this site has a sacred place in the nation's culture.
Takalik Abach is a sacred place with important links to Guatemala's culture. It's a place that harbors flora and fauna biodiversity and even Mayan spirituality and wars wild. This makes this place highly important within the Mayan culture in Guatemala.
Archaeologists believe the monuments go back to the deep-rooted civilizations of Olmec and Maya in a Central American culture around 400 BC. The government has presented the site to UNESCO, hoping it will be declared a World Heritage Site. A Belgian-British teenager is on a solo flight around the globe that could make him a world record holder. Mark Rutherford started his journey from a small airfield near the Bulgarian capital Sofia on Wednesday. His first destination, is the island of Sicily in Italy. From there, he'll fly south to Africa and then around the globe to cross the finish line again in Bulgaria. The 16-year-old pilot says he got his inspiration from his sister.
Egypt's rich history seems to be a gift that keeps on giving. The country has unveiled some exquisite newly discovered tombs. The pharaonic tombs were found at the Saqqara archaeological site south of Cairo. The site is a big necropolis of Memphis, an ancient capital of Egypt. The graves belonged to a senior royal official, or rather senior royal officials. Some of the graves are engraved with interesting titles such as Steward of the Royal House and Supervisor of the Garden. The tombs are around 4,000 years old, dating back to the Old Kingdom of Egypt.
Nowruz, or the Persian New Year, is celebrated worldwide by millions of people, including the people in Indian-controlled Kashmir. The region, known for its natural beauty worldwide, turns magical each year during its spring season. To mark nature's revival, the people of Kashmir have dedicated a day to thank the mesmerizing beauty of spring. Our correspondent Shahana Bhatt reports.
As the spring season begins in Kashmir, the earth turns lush green and the trees bear colorful blossoms, with the sky visibly blue and waters clear and glossy. After a not-so-harsh winter this year, the people of Kashmir are welcoming the onset of spring. Nowruz, or the Persian New Year, marks the beginning of spring and is celebrated on March 21st. New trees are planted while people offer prayers and seek God's help for a prosperous year.
Each year, we await this season so that we can plant new trees. The process of their growth gives us hope, and that hope teaches us that God has set a time for everything. We can't fast-track it. We can only do our best efforts.
On the occasion of Nowruz, women in Kashmir prepare unique dishes made from lotus stem and fish. Mehra and her sister have a busy day today. Friends and family are invited to relish the moment.
We have been taught by our mothers and grandmothers to cook these delicacies on the special occasion of Nowruz. It requires lots of dedication, and what matters is that this food brings friends and families together, and a lot of positive energy is exchanged. For us, Nowruz is not just an occasion, but it marks a fresh beginning of love, growth, and prosperity.
On the occasion of Nowruz, the Kashmiri administration often organizes musical festivals to add fervor to the celebrations. People, especially children, visit these musical festivals in large numbers so that the year starts with cheerful memories. This year, scores of tourists have also come to witness Kashmir's spring.
We had heard that Kashmir looks magical, but we witnessed in reality that this land looks fabulous, especially the spring season.
The early arrival of tourists has added a lot of positivity to Kashmir's tourism sector, which has been hit hard by years of political instability and turmoil. Persian culture is deeply rooted in Kashmir, and celebrating Nowruz is a sign of its influence.
Nowruz marks a new beginning, and after suffering decades of political instability and 2 years of the COVID pandemic, people are only hoping for a return back to a normal life and an everlasting peace. Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Turkey inaugurates the world's longest suspension bridge over the Dardanelles Strait. The bridge is more than 2 kilometers long and connects Turkey's European and Asian shores. It cuts travel time between the two locations to just 6 minutes. A consortium of Turkish and South Korean firms began constructing the huge bridge in 2017 with a budget of 2.5 billion euros. 5,000 workers participated in the colossal undertaking. Passenger vehicles must pay a fare of 200 Turkish liras or around 14 US dollars to use the bridge. In Peru, paleontologists have unearthed the skull of a ferocious marine predator that is an ancestor of the modern-day whale. The 36-million-year-old skull was dug up intact after it was discovered in Peru's southern desert. The fossil belongs to an ancient mammal whose contemporary descendants include dolphins. Recreations of how the animal looked like show it mostly resembles a giant lizard that moved like a snake. Paleontologists say it was a top predator measuring some 12 meters long.
The discovery is very important because the skull is in a perfect state of preservation. The skull and the jaw are in the right anatomical position. The teeth are complete. It's very possible this might be a new Basilosaurus species. If this is so, there is no other fossil like this one anywhere else in the world.
Salas further explained when the ancient animal died, its skull might have sunk to the bottom of the seafloor, where it was quickly preserved. The skull, measuring 1.3 meters long, was unveiled at Lima's Museum of Natural History. The Peruvian desert is rich in fossils and offers scientists 42 million years' worth of evolutionary evidence. Other fossils found there include the four-legged dwarf whale and sharks, among others.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Painter in Pakistan shifts from trucks to trainers to uncover a hip new canvas for his famous truck art. Haydar Ali says he works on each pair of shoes for up to 4 days, and his paint of choice is mainly acrylic. He also uses other forms of durable materials such as oil paints to get the job done. The seasoned artist charges select clients $400 for each set. His designs feature intricate bespoke patterns, including flowers, peacocks, and wildly colorful motifs. He says new requests typically arrive every 4 days. Orders for painted trainers started pouring in for the truck artist after a surge of social media interest.
Ideas keep popping up for me, and sometimes clients have ideas. A client came to me from the US asking for a painting on some shoes. I told him an exorbitant fee to discourage him, but he agreed, so I decided, let's do it then.
He has dispatched 8 pairs to various places in Pakistan and abroad since he first started painting trainers in January. Ali comes from a family of truck artists who made a living off of painting lorries. He came to international fame when his work was exhibited at a museum in the U.S. 2 decades ago. So far, the veteran truck artist has applied his craft to an airplane as well as a passenger car, among others. The art form is mainly seen on Pakistani trucks, and today, the trade is one of the country's most famous cultural exports.
Archaeologists have discovered a 500-year-old Aztec altar with 164 in Mexico City, Mexico's largest starfish offering discovered to date. Archaeologists believe it was built around the year 1500. Jaguar bones and other remains such as sea shells were also found. Scientists believe the fossils found correspond to a species known as chocolate chip sea star or Nidorella armata.
This is really interesting because if you think about it, chocolate chip sea star looks like the skin of a jaguar. It's orange with the dark spots. Probably that is why this species was selected, but we still need to analyze all the starfish because we found 160 of them and we think they all belong to the same species, but we need to research further every one of them.
According to experts, the location of the altar within the Templo Mayor complex and the jaguar motifs suggest the offering was related to the war. Mexico is brimmed with archaeological sites of several civilizations, including Aztecs. Retired racehorses could be retrained for a new role as so-called therapy horses. According to a study led by the University of Bristol, veterans and disabled children, as well as those struggling with mental health issues, can benefit from the therapy horses. The 3-year study aims to provide a global standard for the racing industry and a toolkit for retraining racehorses. A racehorse's career can last anywhere between 2 and 10 years, but better could be done to make use of these beautiful creatures soon after they're retired.
So racehorses, when they finish their racing careers, and they can finish as young as sort of 3 or 4 years old, they really don't want to be just standing around in fields for the next 20, 30 years. And they're so versatile that I really believe there's a job for 99% of them. I think there's almost a sixth sense with the horse. People needing therapy, whether that's mental health or physical disabilities, there seems to be sort of something that gels between a horse and a human.
Horse trainers say with the thoroughbred's lifespan between 25 to 30 years, this study's aim is crucial for their long-term welfare. Over 7,000 racehorses and their career every year in Britain, with many going into eventing and pleasure riding. Killer whale beached on a Mexican shore has been rescued by locals and environmentalists. Volunteers with a group called Youth Allied to the Environment helped carry the orca out of the sea. The whale was loaded onto a truck and taken to a large dock for medical examination. Volunteers say locals gathered to form a human chain in an effort to quickly fill the tub with water. The orca is being treated at a marine biology department of the Yucatan Autonomous University. Veterinarians say the whale appeared to have some pulmonary problems and will be released back to the ocean after the recuperation.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special under the title of Holding Grudge in the View of Islam. You're listening to IRIB English Radio.
Take away everything you've given me, and I try to remember not to take anything for granted, 'cause I know that one day suddenly this will all come to an end. So my last wish is for you to be pleased with me.
Today, Tuesday, is the 26th of Shaban, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 9th of Farvardin, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 29th of March, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran. We look at chapter Al-Balad. We listen to verses 17 to 20.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ثم كان من الذين آمنوا وتواصوا بالصبر وتواصوا بالمرحمة.
And then being among those who believed and advised one another to patience and advised one another to compassion.
أولئك أصحاب الميمنة.
Those are the companions of the right.
والذين كفروا بآياتنا هم أصحاب المشأمة.
But they who disbelieved in our signs, those are the companions of the left.
عليهم نار مؤصدة.
Over them will be fire closed in.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It shows that patience and perseverance on the path of obedience to Allah and the challenge against one's own desires and also strengthening the principle of compassionate kindness should not occur in the society only in the form of individual behavior, but it should appear as a common current in the whole society, and all the members of a society should enjoin observing and preserving this principle on each other in order to make their social relationship in this way closer and stronger.
والإكرام يا إلهي فاعف
This is today's special, and our topic is holding grudge in the view of Islam. In life, we are suffer through hurtful events caused by others, such as a lying friend. It can be hard to let go of things easily, and we have a habit of focusing on the negatives. And whenever someone does something to us that is less than desirable, we can't help but dwell on it for weeks, sometimes months. Instead of forgiving instantly, we respond to these painful emotions with anger, hostility, and the desire for revenge. To us, holding a grudge is the only way we can get back at that person. Most of the time, they ask for forgiveness, but part of us wants to make them feel as badly as I did when they did us harm.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastin. Regarding holding grudge, feeling hatred about someone or some people, in this connection, it must be indicated that sometimes, the prolonged discussions or prolonged quarreling over trivial things may create such a feeling that, two persons who used to be, close friends, and later on they become staunch enemies of each other. Why? Because, they experienced long quarrels on many trivial things or on almost nothing. Another cause is expecting too much from the other party. Imagine that you attend an association or a gathering wherein you might have thought that you would be receiving so many benefits out of that gathering. However, when you go over there and you find that your expectations haven't been met, or your expectations have been too many, little by little, you are going to develop a feeling of hatred or feeling grudge about the person or persons concerned. According to Imam Ali alayhi salam, nobody should blame, one's relatives or other people, even if one's own brother, several times or for trivial things. And it's indicated in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam, try to be tolerant with your brother as he is, because reproaching him or rebuking him for a long time creates a feeling of grudge or hatred in the other party.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, Hadiths of the Infallibles, Lessons from the Life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah.
Lack of confidence. Holding grudge makes us have a lack of confidence. This part should be avoided for all of us, since Islam taught us to be a confident person. As the grudge in ourselves still on the wrong side, we will always be overthinking in every situation. It may harm you to the most because it will cause some anxiety symptoms. That is why we need to avoid grudge feelings. In the Quran, Surah Al-Jasiyah, verse 21 mentions, do those who commit crimes think that we will treat them like those who believe and do good, that is, the harm in their lives and death? How bad their judgment is.
Rabbuna Rabbul Qulubi wa huwa Allamul Ghuyub fi shuruqi wa fil ghurubi nuruhu yahdi al-asa. Rabbuna رب القلوب وهو علام الغيوب في الشروق وفي الغروب نوره يهدي العصا
ربنا الهادي الودود فضله ملء الوجود عفوه خير وجود فارتجي دوما رضا.
Now, what should I do when someone doesn't forgive me? Always caring each other. Forgiving by caring for each other in a simple way can make the relationship better. Sometimes without the forgiveness relationship being dreadful, it becomes so hurt for everyone, not only the one who should ask for forgiveness. That is why always becoming a caring person makes forgiveness more easier to do, just like today that we face the pandemic. Muslims should care more for each other. In the Quran, Surah An-Nur, verse 22, mentions about this. And do not those who have strengthens and spaciousness among you swear that they will not give help to his relatives, the poor, and those who immigrate in the way of Allah, and let them forgive and be tolerant chest. Do you not like that Allah forgives you? And Allah is forgiving, most merciful.
One of the greatest treasures that the Almighty God has given to humanity is this heart. One of the greatest gifts is a pure heart that allows you to experience life. But one of the greatest challenges is to protect this heart from being burdened. One of the aspects in our lives that burden the heart is the inability to forgive others. Psychologically, emotionally, we feel burdened. One scientific study even showed that physically people feel burdened when they cannot forgive others. A group of people was brought, and the members of that group were asked to think of a time when they could not forgive someone. Then they were asked to jump without bending their knees as high as they could. On average, they were able to jump 22 centimeters. Then they were asked to think of a time when they actually could forgive someone. Then they were told to jump as high as they could. On average, this time, they jumped 30 centimeters. This study showed that physically you even feel burdened when you cannot forgive others. When you cannot forgive others, you're hurt twice. The first time someone wronged you, you're hurt. When you cannot forgive that person and move on, you hurt yourself a second time. You allow yourself to be hurt a second time. It's like trying to throw charcoal at someone. Before you throw the charcoal at someone to hurt them back, to seek vengeance, you burn your own hands. You burn your own hands. The Almighty God expects us to forgive others. If we forgive others, God forgives us. We liberate the heart through forgiveness. Studies have showed that people who are able to forgive, they are happier. They suffer from less depression in their lives. Malik al-Ashtar was one of the students of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. One day he was walking in the streets of Kufa when an ignorant man came, insulted him, and hurled an object at him. He did not know who Malik al-Ashtar was. Malik al-Ashtar proceeded, he went to a masjid. Then the people came to this man, they told him, "Do you know what you just did? This is Malik al-Ashtar, the commander of the army of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam." The man started to shake. He ran after Malik, he found him in the masjid. Malik was praying. When Malik al-Ashtar finished his prayer, the man fell at his feet, kissing his feet. "Please forgive me, I did not know who you are." Malik al-Ashtar told him, "Oh man, I swear by God, the only reason why I came to this masjid is to pray and ask God to forgive you." This is the student of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Pray and ask God to forgive you. The Almighty God expects us to forgive others.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special from IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic. Till another episode, we'll leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad.
محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.